Nindakara is a typical South Indian coastal village, where chirping sparrows and cuckoos flit above placid lakes and coconut trees. But the rustic setting disguises a harsh reality. Most of the houses here are crumbling. Philomena lives in this small brick house with her husband and two children. She says the plaster keeps falling off the walls, and each time they fix the walls, the cracks just re-emerge. Below the plaster, the red bricks appear to be turning into dust. Philomena's neighbor has the same problem, and he says to find out the cause, all you have to do is rub your fingers on the wall and taste the powder that comes off.
Yes, sir. There is a bit of a salty taste.
Yeah, a mild salty taste.
The walls are covered in a thin layer of salt, and it's coming from the shrimp ponds. About 100 meters from Philomena's house, water flows out of a big salty pond, 5 feet deep and brimming with shrimp larvae. There's been an explosion in aquaculture in this area in the last 15 years. The shrimp boom has created thousands of jobs and made some people here very rich. But the salty water is seeping down the soil and leaching up the building's walls. It's also making the soil here too salty to grow most crops. That's why critics say the benefit is just not worth the cost.
That is not sustainable.
Sri Kumaran is a plant scientist at the nearby Kerala University. And he says he has a solution to the salinity problem, rice.
From flowering to harvest, another 30 days.
Behind his office, Sri Kumaran's team are growing rice plants, each about 3 feet tall with a little label. He and his team are crossbreeding some of India's highest yielding rice varieties with a salt tolerant type called Pokkali.
The Pokkali, it is the traditional variety having the maximum tolerance to salinity.
Sri Kumaran says Pokkali used to be widely cultivated here in the past, but most farmers here haven't grown rice in at least 40 years.
The area under this Pokkali crop is coming down drastically year by year.
But he believes breeding new, higher yielding varieties could help the farmers go back to what they used to do. Raise the valuable shrimp, or what are known here as prawns, for half the year. Then drain out the ponds and grow the salt-tolerant rice for the rest of the year.
So it is an integrated farming system, one crop of rice followed by a prawn crop.
The beauty of the system is that while prawns need salty water, rice needs to be submerged in fresh water. So the farmers who grow Pokkali in their shrimp ponds can hold the rainwater while the rice grows. This lets the water seep into the pond and flush some of that salt out of the soil. And planting Pokkali here can have a broader benefit too. A mile or so from Philomena's house, waves from the Arabian Sea crash into a seawall. With climate change, sea levels are gradually creeping up, and scientists expect that to speed up seawater intrusion into coastal aquifers. Pokkali supporters hope that planting rice could slow this process down by getting more fresh water to flow into the soil. But first, they've got to convince farmers that growing rice is a good idea. On a Sunday evening in Nindakara, a small group of Pokkali farmers have assembled near a church playing religious songs. They are distributing the newly harvested rice to the villagers. Every family who worked in the field gets 10 kilos. Indira Kannan is one of the recipients. She says she can already see the benefits of growing Pokkali after just 1 year. Before, we couldn't grow anything in our backyard because it was too salty, she says. Now, some vegetables are already taking root. It'll take more than just a few activists to push the pendulum back against the highly profitable shrimp industry. But Indira Kannan says she at least is already sold. We won't agree to do just prawn farming anymore, she says. We'll be planting rice this year as well. For The World, I'm Lakshmi Narayan in Kerala, India.